Hello and welcome to the San Carlos Blog Podcast. My name is Bob Burdell. I'm a realtor with RE/MAX today in downtown San Carlos. Today is Friday, March 28, 2008, and appreciate everyone logging on for this week's podcast. Today we're going to look at a few things. Number one is, now that we're kind of well into our spring market, we're going to get an update on how the spring market is going. We're also going to do an examination of the different price ranges, and we're going to concentrate a little bit on that 1.4 to 1.5 to 1.8 price range in which the inventory seems to be lagging a little bit for San Carlos. We're also going to look at how to price homes between 1.4 and 1.8 million in San Carlos. And finally, I've had a few folks write in with some questions that they wanted answered in a post, and we'll handle a few of those depending on how much time we have toward the end of the podcast. So let's take a look at, now that we're getting ready to close up March, our current inventory in San Carlos is sitting right at 46 active single-family residences. That is, again, probably a little low for us this time of year. Normally, in the spring market, you'd like to see that number up between 55 and 58. It seems that each time we get close to breaching the 50 mark, we'll get to 50 or 51, and then it shoots right back down to 48. Now we're all the way back down to 46. So the inventory has been low, and that can be due to a few things, but the demand in San Carlos, I still believe, is outweighing the supply, and that's the number one reason for it. And kind of looking at that, the market that seems to be on everyone's mind, which is that 1.4 to 1.8 market in San Carlos, and it's causing quite a bit of frustration for buyers in San Carlos that are either A, trying to move into that market, or B, trying to move into that market where they already have a home in that 900 to 1.25 range, and it's that 1.4 to 1.8 range is kind of the next step up for a lot of them. And I've heard quite a few buyers express frustration at the lack of inventory and choices in that 1.4 to 1.8 range. And if you look at what's currently on the market, let's just say it, you know, the 1.4 and higher, you're looking at Zero Madera, which has been on for 235 days, 385 Devonshire, which has been on for 310 days, 248 Club, priced at 1550, it's been on for 35 days, 35 Winding Way has been on for 82 days, and that's really it between the 1.4 and 1.8 market. So you can see that the level of frustration is reaching some panic levels for some folks that are desperately trying to find something in that price range. And recently we had 12 Elston Court was on at 1525 last week, and that sold with multiple offers just a few days ago. So it is not much to choose from, and it's obviously, as mentioned, is causing quite a few folks some frustration. And you know, the next question is, well, is anything else coming on the market? And you know, my impression is yes. I know for myself, I have one coming on the market that'll fit that very close to that price range in the weeks to come. And I've kind of heard a few other realtors around the office that'll have stuff in that price range. So you know, you're far from hitting the panic button. I think that some stuff will come on and loosen that inventory just a little bit. So a question that I get a lot from folks that are thinking about looking at a home, let's just say between 1.4 and 1.8 million, is, since there's such little inventory, you know, how do you judge a price on comparables? And it's tough. And a lot of folks are tied to the square footage, price per square foot, when homes get to be, you know, right around 1.5 million. And I think that's okay as a starting point. And what I always recommend to people is, when I'm trying to price a home in that price range, is you will take not just the comparables for all of San Carlos, let's say between 1.4 and 1.8, but it's probably, in other words, the price per square foot for White Oaks is going to be different than the price per square foot over in Alder Manor or over Beverly Terrace. And as many of you know, San Carlos is split up into six different areas. And so it's probably helpful to take only the comparables from that specific area in order to start to get your price per square foot. And the reason you want to keep the areas, they're different in demographics, school, construction of the home. It's a much fairer comparison. In other words, if you had a home in White Oaks to compare it against other homes only in White Oaks, there is enough inventory, if you go back to the last 6 months, that will give you probably a close enough number there on the averages. So if you go back 6 months and you're in a certain area and you're trying to, you think a house is around, wants to say, in between 1.4 and 1.8 million, take the last 6 months comparables, go ahead and calculate a price per square foot, and that will get you to what I consider just to be a starting point. And whatever that price per square foot may be, in San Carlos it'll range anywhere from about $500 a square foot up to $700 a square foot, depending on the area. And you take that number and you kind of work from there. So now that you have your rough value based on the price per square foot, really the way to narrow down the appropriate value from there is to really take the property as a whole and look at all the variable factors. And by variable factors, I mean, is it on a busy street? Is it on a cul-de-sac? Does it have a recent remodel? Is it in original condition? Does it have a level lot? Does it have a view? Is it on a hillside? Does it have deferred maintenance? What you do is you create a list of benefits, and another side that would probably be labeled something closer to disadvantages of the property. And you would assign individual values for each factor, whether it's positive or negative. And then you add the two columns up, and you're going to either end up with a positive or negative number. Positive number, just simply add it to your square footage. A negative number, and you obviously subtract it from the square footage price. And I think at that point you get pretty close. I think you, as long as your assigned values for those variable factors are close, then the ultimate number that you're going to arrive at should be pretty close as well. Generally, you'd like to see it within 2%. And then for that final 2%, deciding whether to go up or down with it, I think you have to look to other bigger factors, such as the market as a whole for San Carlos, how is it doing? And more specifically, the inventory, if you have low inventory, and what's your competition like? If you're thinking about pricing yourself in a certain zone, and you look at the MLS and you say, well, okay, if we're going to price ourselves at 1.5, here's our competition for this week. And if you think you're better, then obviously you can add perhaps 2% to that estimated price. So there's quite a lot that goes into it, but there is a way to break it down so that it makes some sense. It's just not a lot of people feel that the 1.4, especially that 1.4 to 1.7 zone, is kind of a big black hole, and I don't disagree. I think that you really have to take the time and break it down and be realistic on the variable factors for each house. But again, I think if you do that, I think you get real close. Some people make the mistake of going only with square footage and the price per square foot. That's really more of a commercial deal than it is a residential deal. And I think not to pay attention to the individual characteristics and factors of each property is a big mistake, because it obviously is very effective on resale. And finally, on this week's podcast, we are going to take a look at two questions that I had emailed in the last week. The first one deals with this woman is wondering why signs come up with the coming soon sign on them. And I'll admit, I get that question a lot, and usually it's fitting into one of three reasons. I'll put a coming soon sign up on a property if, for instance, another property, let's just say around the corner, is coming to market a week before us, and you want to make sure that your sign is out to maybe pick up anybody that might be thinking of bidding on that house, and letting them know that, in fact, there's another choice. It's coming soon. If you can hang on a week before putting a bid on maybe a competing house, it'd be well served for you to take your time and maybe look at both houses. And so in that regard, it serves as casting a big net there, and maybe hedging some of the competition that may make it on the market a little before you. Second, it could be a little bit of a high sign to fellow realtors that you have something coming on the market. If you had a client that was looking in that particular neighborhood, a coming soon sign means that a property obviously is close to coming to the market, and they might possibly entertain a preemptive offer. And certainly there have been numerous discussions on the blog regarding preemptive offers and what's involved. And finally, you could just have a realtor that's trying to get some calls off the sign. That is entirely possible, to build some interest in that home. So normally it's fitting into one or three of those reasons, if not more. But anyway, that's the reason for the coming soon sign. And the final question I had emailed in is actually a really good question. It comes from a gentleman who has a, I guess it's a brother-in-law that's a realtor on the East Coast, and it talked about when you're at an open house, basically your conduct. It seems a little strange to even be discussing that, but as a listing agent, a good listing agent, I think will kind of mark people that are coming through the house and seem to have a little bit of interest. And the reason is, it's kind of your one opportunity to see the person who might possibly be bidding on the home. And the last thing you want to do is enter into a contract or advise your sellers to enter into a contract with somebody that may be a little difficult to deal with, especially if there's multiple offers in the home and you have your choice. And let me give you an example. And recently in San Carlos, I had a gentleman, and I'm using that term loosely in this case, walked through the front door, looked at me, looked at the house, held his arm out and turned his thumb down and then kind of stuck his tongue out at me, which was, that was a first. But as it turns out, he later had interest in the house and wanted to bid on it. And, you know, again, people that are going to be a little difficult to deal with, I'm not sure that, you know, my sellers would want something like that, because I'll tell you what happens. If you get into a multiple bid situation, or not even a multiple bid situation, let's just say you have one or two offers, and the first question that sellers you normally ask is, hey, do you remember these people from the open house? Who are they? What's their agent like? And stuff like that, kind of doing their homework. And if people are walking through the house and they're complaining, you can usually tell, and it's not everybody. Most everybody who comes through the open house is very, very nice, but there are some that are, you can just tell, are going to be a little difficult to deal with. And, you know, it all plays into, you know, certainly there's nothing wrong with if you're a buyer walking through a house and you have some questions on possible deficiencies of the house, absolutely you should ask that agent. But it's kind of more in the ways of how people present themselves. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. You just once in a while will run into some that are just very, very difficult. And you can tell it even before you enter into the contract. And in that case, a lot of the times it's not really worth the effort. So, you know, I guess that, you know, when people open up their house to the public and they're well aware that neighbors and buyers are going to come through, it's, you know, it's them kind of inviting people into their home, and there should be a certain level of conduct that should be observed. And again, 99.9% of people observe it, but there are some that come through that, you know, frankly, you just wouldn't believe, and I wonder why they didn't get the house. Anyway, that is my two cents on that subject, and probably went a little overboard on that, but that's all right. Anyway, we're well past time here for the blog. We'll pick up the other questions next week, and appreciate everyone logging on, and we'll see you next week. Take care.